Welcome to Unsupervised Learning, a security, AI, and meaning-focused podcast that looks at how best to thrive as humans in a post-AI world. It combines original ideas, analysis, and mental models to bring not just the news, but why it matters and how to respond.
All right, so the first thing for this week is I finally turned my 9,000-word AI predictions essay into an actual video. So if you click on this thing...
All right, I'm going to try to do something crazy right now. Actually, I'm going to try...
This is the whole video.
Likes.
I go through... I thought it was going to be like 30 minutes. I'm like,
it knows what we want because it has all our purposes.
Turns out it was 70 minutes.
It knows our journal. It knows all the stuff that we...
Plus like 2 hours of editing, which I never should have done. But anyway... It is a full walkthrough of the illustrated essay, and I even give a lot more sort of expansion narration on top of the text that's in the essay. So it's quite good, if I do say so myself. I've had a lot of people say they enjoyed it. So I would say go check that out. It gets me excited to even think about it, talk about it. It's like the fun stuff. Plus, I remember like doing the art. It's just a super good time. Okay, security. Yeah, but so go check out the video. All right, security. So Israel's top spy chief, Yossi Sariel, accidentally revealed his identity through an Amazon book sale. So I guess we're just doxing him now? That's rude. Well, I guess he's not going to be that anymore because they're going to be like, you obviously can't do this. So they probably got rid of him and replaced him with someone who is still anonymous. So now he's no longer the spy chief. He's just a guy doing an Amazon book sale. All right, CVE and NVD databases are struggling. It's causing gaps and inaccuracies, so somebody needs to fix that. Criminals in Montreal are using Apple's AirTags to track and steal cars, and police are using Apple's AirTags to track criminals. So a lot of AirTag use on both sides of the fence there. And this one's super cool. This sponsor, I want to talk about this one because I'm actually advising for them. The first AI SOC analyst that autonomously investigates alerts. This thing will pull alerts. I've seen this live. Pull alerts, and this is a sponsor, by the way. Sponsor, and I'm an advisor for them. So I'm just excited about them. It's called dropzone.ai. So you take an alert from anywhere in your stack, some tool that you have that produces an alert, like an endpoint, cloud, doesn't matter. And it takes alerts from your environment and performs autonomous. It basically goes and starts researching exactly like a human. It's like starts digging in, boom, get some results from that lookup and that investigation. Takes that, goes to the next step, and just starts doing multiple steps, just like a regular SOC analyst, just like a human. And once it gets done, it puts that all together and generates a decision-ready report. So you could basically use that. And it's basically exactly as if you had got that from a SOC analyst, and you can make a decision based on that. And it's no playbooks, no code, no prompts required. It just, you feed it alerts and it goes and does investigations and brings back a report. It's absolutely insane. It's exactly what I've been talking about as being like how AI is most going to affect security. And I've been saying for the longest time, it's all going to be agent-based. And that's exactly what this is. And like I said, it's so good, I just became an advisor. And it's dropzone.ai. And you could actually go and see a demo of it working on a real alert. Panera's week-long incident was, in fact, a ransomware attack. CISA's new high-risk communities webpage offers a bunch of guides and volunteer support and discounted tools. Thanks to Defendify for sponsoring as well. Israel's military used an AI named Lavender to pinpoint 37,000 potential Hamas targets. And that's definitely getting people pretty upset about that because it's one thing to identify someone and do further investigation. It's another thing if you're identifying and then like targeting. And again, I don't know if that's actually happening. I don't know the degree they're trusting this targeting that's coming up from Lavender. I don't know if they're going directly to attacks or killing or anything like that. But the point is, it's worth having a conversation about what they're doing with it, given the fact that AI can be super fast and super accurate, but it can also have a lot of flaws. And the more serious you're taking the results, the more important those flaws are, right? Technology, there's a rumor that Sam Altman and Johnny Ive are building some sort of handheld device through a new secret company. Who knows if that's real or not? It sounds real to me because we know that Johnny Ive is actually working with them. We know he's a design person. We know we need these types of devices, so it makes sense to me. OpenAI released improved ways of doing fine-tuning. A new paper shows that adding more agents to large language models boosts their performance. How could it not? How could it not? I mean, like I've been telling everyone, agents is the way. Agents is the way this is all going to move forward. And then each individual agent, when it gets smarter because the AI models improve, that just makes the whole thing smarter. But the way to get ultimately smart and actually pass humans is to have that combination of agents working together. That system is what's smart. It's the same as our brain. It's no different than our brain. Our brain has a whole bunch of areas. Each individually only do kind of one thing, and they're not very smart by themselves. The whole thing that's made it smart over all these millions of years is the fact that they work together and they're sharing information. And it's like, it's a system. The system is what makes us smart. And it's going to be no different with agents. Now, eventually you might have an AI that's just one agent or one model or one agent or whatever. And it's so smart. It's just smart by itself because it's different than a human. But the way we're first going to get to AGI, mark my words, is going to be through a system of AI components working together. And I've got a blog on that somewhere. New paper explores how AI might be leading us towards knowledge collapse by oversimplifying complex information. I like that, but I don't think the complex information goes away. Just because somebody is simplifying or summarizing complex information, it doesn't mean we have to stop feeding the AI the original raw form. One doesn't have to supplant the other. And we could just ask for the long form, or we could ask for the short form. I don't see that as a trade-off. U.S. is trying to get South Korea to stop exporting chip-making tools to China. U.S. is testing energy storage in heated sand. This tech is like trippy to me. Energy storage in heated sand. 135 megawatts of power output put for 5 days straight. And Aura's rolling out symptom radar. They're not calling it illness detection for obvious reasons. I haven't looked at my app to see if I have that yet. I do have an Aura though. Okay, Amazon is ditching its cashierless walkout technology. It's kind of sad. I guess it's too early, but they're switching to something a little more normal, like a hybrid. Humans, new studies are showing the wealthy are starting to have more kids than the poor. Again, we need lots of studies to show that's actually true, but interesting trend. NASA's doing live streaming the eclipse. I watched it. It was super cool. It was actually moving through multiple cities, and you would see each person, each city as it was moving, it would go to the full totality and everyone would freak out. It was quite cool. It was a very cool stream. TSMC did not take much damage at all. They were actually only down for like a day, and they went back to start full production. And it's because their buildings have some really cool stabilization tech that allows them to not get too messed up from earthquakes. However, the earthquake was on the other side of the island. So who knows if it's a bigger, like it was an 8 and it was nearby. I'm not sure the buildings would be able to handle that, but who knows. Israeli military dismissed 2 senior officers and reprimanded 3 others for an airstrike that mistakenly killed World Central Kitchen volunteers in Gaza. The UK's exporting workers to fill higher paying U.S. jobs. And U.S. venture capital investments went down $36.6 billion in 2024. Had a really cool conversation with Mike Privet from Return on Security about these overall economic trends, especially around cybersecurity. And that'll go up soon. McKinsey's offering UK employees 9 months of pay to voluntarily leave McKinsey. Gen Z is going for trades like welding and plumbing over a college and student debt. And home insurers are now using aerial images from satellites to decide who gets dropped from coverage. I assume that's because maybe somebody's building something in their backyard or they have too many cars. Like, I'm not sure what would be on the policy that they'd be able to see in a satellite photo. Maybe add-ons to the house or something. I don't know. And all right, got a couple cool ideas here. Another view of imposter syndrome. So somebody said, outwork your imposter syndrome. That was the post. Outwork your imposter syndrome. And I'm like, working harder isn't the solution, in my opinion. The solution is to work on bigger problems that are super important to solve. That way your focus isn't internal, it's actually external. And I actually go into this. So I'm going to go ahead and open this up. So I say, framed this way, imposter syndrome is ultimately a problem of thinking too much internally versus externally. Because you're thinking, how do I compare to them? What do they think of me, right? And so the solution, I think, is to focus on something outside of you, right? Stop putting the focus on yourself. How do I compare? What do they think of me? That's thinking about yourself. Instead, focus on the problem And now you won't really have imposter syndrome because you're thinking about like, what am I doing that's useful to help me with this really big problem, which has nothing to do with me. It's about me working on that thing. So instead, focus on the problem and how to fix it. And this also works for happiness. It doesn't come from focusing on self. It comes from focusing on other. So that was that piece there. And this one is really interesting. It's the first time I've ever seen Tyler Cohen be wrong. He's like one of the smartest people that I know of on the planet. And he had Jonathan Haidt on, and Jonathan Haidt was talking about how bad social media is for young girls and how AI could potentially make that worse and everything. And Tyler Cohen is like, don't worry about it. AI is going to solve this because AI is going to summarize everything. And the summarization of social media is going to solve this problem and fix it. And I'm like, how are you not seeing this? Now, Jonathan didn't have this point, but I'm going to make this point right now. That is how Tyler Cohen is going to use AI, right? It's how I'm using AI right now. And it's how, you know, Jonathan's probably going to use it as well. Summarization of content. So you're just getting the thing. And that might actually take you away from being caught up in like, oh, he said, she said, and all the drama or toxicity or whatever. Well, that's fine. And that again, that's how they're going to use it. That's how a whole bunch of intellectual people who have made it in life and are older are probably going to use it. But not for young people consuming viral and toxic content, because for them, the content itself is the point, not the summary. And here's my example of this. Does Tyler think AI will send people who love stand-up comedy a summary of the jokes made in a given stand-up as a substitute for going to actual comedy shows? And I've got an AI summary here. Here's your summary of this stand-up. There were 3 jokes on women and stereotypes, 4 jokes on how clumsy the comedian is, 2 playful racist jokes, 2 hecklers were addressed. Applause was 3 out of 5 compared to other performers. We hope you've enjoyed this hilarious AI summary from Comics AI. Does that work for comedy? No, that doesn't work for comedy, and it won't work for young kids consuming viral or toxic content. Unless you had some sort of like draconic, like, I guess, massive control where they weren't actually allowed to go to the real thing. They couldn't go to TikTok. They can't go to Instagram. And all they get is the stupid summary. Nobody would, they wouldn't even care about the summary. I mean, that's not even going to be a thing. Nobody cares. And if it did, they wouldn't use it. And if they had the option, or if they had both, they wouldn't choose the summaries. They would not use the summaries at all. And they would just go to the original thing. Now, that being said, it is Tyler Cohen. So there's a chance that I didn't understand what he was saying. And also Jonathan definitely didn't either. So we could be misunderstanding Tyler's point. So I want to offer him that. There's also the other thing, which is he might just be right and I'm just wrong. Now, I wouldn't normally say that because I think fairly highly of my thinking capabilities, but it's Tyler Cohen. So I'm leaving that window a little more open than usual. All right. Deepfaked content summaries. Oh yeah, this is crazy. So I don't know. I don't know if I woke up with this idea. I think the main interface that we're about to have for content, let's say, okay, I got buddies who make content. John Hammond makes content. Jason Haddix makes content. Clint Gibler makes content. So they're putting out, let's say they're putting out videos, they're putting out text, they're doing live talks, they're doing all these different things, different mediums, different formats. I think what's going to be happening very soon is, and let's do the AR version, even though we don't have AR yet. The earlier version will just be little videos on your phone. But let's do the AR version, or the AR version combined with a digital assistant, which is AI in your head or in your mobile device. So it's essentially you say, hey, look, what has Jason been up to? What has John been up to? What has Clint been up to? And it will actually deepfake them, okay? Because it knows how much time I have. Let's say I want a 2-minute summary. It will take the long presentation that Jason is going to do. Jason's getting ready to do an AI talk called Red, Purple, Blue AI. Let's say it's a class. Oh, by the way, you should go sign up for this class. His class is called Red, Purple, Blue AI. It's going to be an amazing class. I've heard a lot about it. I'm going to be in it as well. But for example, let's say he gives a talk about that, a public talk. The other one's not public, but let's say he gives a talk about that. Actually, he's doing it at Hackspace Con coming up soon. So that's a good example. Let's say I don't have the 1 hour or the 2 hours to watch that. I only have 2 minutes. I'm about to get on a train where I don't have any connection, whatever. It's going to make Jason, and Jason is going to teach me what he covered, but he's going to do it in 30 seconds or he's going to do it in 60 seconds. It's going to be a deep fake of Jason doing Jason's own content. Same for John. John Hammond has a thing about this new piece of malware. Clint has this new thing about this new tool that he made or that he saw and he's talking about. Deepfakes are going to allow the actual creator to scale their delivery of their content as a video to any size chunk that the consumer wants to see. Give me a 10-second summary. Give me a 30-second summary. Give me a 1-minute summary, a 2-minute summary, a 10-minute summary, whatever. But it will dynamically write the content, which is an AI summary of the content, which smashes it down to that size. And then it will perfectly deepfake that creator and the mouth will match. The mouth will perfectly match. It'll look exactly or almost exactly and eventually exactly like the creator. Now, why would the creator want to do that? Because it's still their content, okay? It's still their content. It's not the original raw form. But in a lot of ways, it's going to be better because it's not going to have ums and ahs. It's going to be very crisp and concise. And most importantly, it won't be some third party, right? Because my digital assistant can also render it using their face. But it'll be really cool for the actual creator to be still the one that's delivering it. And what's cool about that, so here's what's really cool about that. It'll do multiple languages. So now it's still Clint. It's still John. It's still Jason. Jason is still saying the thing to me, pero él está diciendo la content en español. Entonces, puedo escuchar en español and I won't know the difference. It'll look exactly as if Jason is speaking in Spanish instead of English. And I think that is wonderful. Same with Chinese, same with every language. Not any more difficult. So now your deepfaked content is going out to every language all at once as soon as you drop a piece of content. So watch this. You drop a piece of content. It's 1 hour long. Okay, perfect example. I just released a video. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes long. I only did it in English because I'm only capable of doing it in English. I could do it partially in Spanish, but it would be kind of crappy. So that 1 hour and 10 minute piece of content can now be put in Hindi, Spanish, Mandarin, Cantonese, Filipino, like all these different languages, but not just converted one for one to the language, also converted to a 10-second version, a 30-second version, a 1-minute version. And it's still me. It's still my face. It's still my whatever gesturings, all this. It's still me delivering the content. That is a game changer, an absolute game changer, because it's scalable content delivery in every language at every bite-sized chunk. So now when I'm on a train or I'm exercising, I could have my AR interface. I see the person is delivering the content. And it's just like, I'm watching that. Now, maybe there'll be some sort of tag that says, is this raw or is this an AI deepfake of it? But it's not even quite a deepfake. It's using deepfake technology, but a deepfake is like almost unauthorized. This will be completely authorized. And of course, there will be versions of this that are not authorized and that will be an actual deepfake. But anyway, you get the idea. This is going to massively change how we consume content because we want that content in different forms, different languages, but we still want to see the creator doing it. All right, AI and music. AI is not going to ruin music. Have we forgot about pop? Pop is, you know, a few chords and a hook. It's, you know, a lot of people would say it's low quality music, like low quality food. But it's the same with doing customer service calls, sales calls. We forget how low the bar is for being better than an average human. And that's why AI music is going to be pretty good. And actually, I think I have a link to one here. Anyway, discovery section. Luke Steffens, Hack Luke, put out an amazing blog talking about his evolution of bug bounty automation. Talks about going from Bash to Python to Golang and how he eventually ended up at Cloud Native. Really great piece. Thomas Rocha, he's super awesome. And he wrote a piece about applying LLMs to threat intelligence. Really cool. He's got a Jupyter notebook here for the code as well. SWE agent autonomously fixes bugs in GitHub repos. Burr is a Python framework, simplifies building Gen AI apps using building blocks. Open source textbook, makes the art of mathematics accessible. GM. Graham turns threat modeling into a self-hosted web app. This one is super, super cool. ChatGPT now lets you tweak images. So you can basically have an image that was created with DALL-E and you could just like rub a, like the face or whatever and say, redo that part. And it will redo it, but integrate it with everything around it. So that is something that Midjourney had that, that DALL-E didn't. And now DALL-E has it as well. Claude's API now has a new tools feature that allows you to like browse the web and do all kinds of stuff. I kind of feel like agent functionality is going to blend right into the models. So I'm not quite sure how long we're going to have like these elaborate agent frameworks, because that might just be part of using AI. You might just say exactly what you want to do in the prompt, and that will actually be the agent framework. It'll actually spin up how many agents are needed to do that. And maybe you have some parameters right there in the prompt that does it. But I kind of feel like that's going to just blend right into the language of the models themselves. And kids are learning math from deepfakes. Okay, this is another example of this. Learning math from deepfakes of Taylor Swift and Drake on TikTok. And it's going well. I'm excited for this. I am super excited for this. Look, there are negatives that are going to come from deepfakes. Everyone knows that. Let's find the positives. The positives are, if people love Taylor Swift, let's learn math. Let's learn calculus from Taylor Swift. I would do that. All right. Recommendation of the week. Check out Mozart on the Bass. This is an AI track. Yeah. Go listen to this. Tell me that this won't be popular. It's a little bit EDM-ish. So if you don't like that, just compare it to other EDM that you don't like. And you'll see that AI is actually quite good at making stuff you don't like. All right. Aphorism of the week. Don't explain your philosophy. Embody it. Don't explain your philosophy. Embody it. Epictetus.
Unsupervised Learning is produced and edited by Daniel Miesler on a Neumann U87 AI microphone using Hindenburg. Intro and outro music is by Zombie with a Y. And to get the text and links from this episode, sign up for the newsletter version of the show at danielmiesler.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time. ¶¶